Good to be together this morning, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to have the passages up on the screen as well. So we're in a series called Monumental Moments. This morning we're going to look at a monumental moment in the life of Moses. So Exodus chapter 33. Beginning in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Depart. Go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your offspring I will give it.' I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." Let's pause right there. The title of this message is, "It's Not Where You Go, It's Who You Know." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Lord, even as we worshiped, even as we sang, even as we consider, Lord, the 4 hours that you have done in our lives. And we just thank you so much for Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, minister life to us, encouragement and grace and strength, and glorify Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. So the Lord says to Moses, "I'm going to send you to a great land. I'm going to send you up to the promised land, the land that I promised I would give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land that is overflowing with milk and honey, a good place. I'm going to send you there. Not only that, I'm going to put an angel before you because there are enemies there. And I'm going to put an angel there who's going to fight for you and clear the way and help you fight the enemies so that you conquer this land. You're going to have everything you need, abundance." That's what milk and honey represents. It's a place where everything they need, every need they have is met in abundance. I want you to, and the Lord finally says this, there's one thing, I'm not going up with you. I'm not going to go there with you. I want you to put yourself for a moment in Moses' place. What if God said to you, "I'm going to send you to a place that is awesome. It's good in every way. Let's say I'm sending you to San Diego." Their weather, by the way, is always perfect. "I'm sending you to San Diego, where I have opened the door for you to have a dream job, the job of your dreams. And you're going to make a six-figure salary there. And I've got a home for you that is like it could be in Better Homes and Gardens. And on top of that, I've got a BMW in your driveway waiting for you, brand new. And everything you could want is supplied. And every challenge is going to be met. And you're just going to have so much blessing in your life." How many of us would say, "Sign me up, Lord. Sign me up. That's what I want. That sounds good. No more cares, no more fears, no more like, well, how am I going to pay the bills?" People are going to look at your life and say, "You have arrived. You've made it." God said, "Just one more thing you need to know. I'm not going with you. I'm not going to be in your life." Here's the question. Would you be okay with that? Would you be okay with that? Moses wasn't. What's most important to Moses isn't where the Lord is sending them. It's who is going with them. Or in this case, who isn't going with them. Let's continue reading, jumping down to verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will sin with me. Right there we see that who is more important to Moses than where. Who is more important to Moses than where? Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he, that is the Lord, said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he, Moses, said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, Yahweh. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. You see how Moses says, Lord, you're telling me where you're sending me. You haven't told me who is going with me. And then Moses reminds God of their relationship. He said, Lord, you know me. You say you know me by name. You said I have found favor in your sight. Since that day you spoke to me from the burning bush and called to me, you have known me. I have known you. God knew him long before that. I have known you. I have walked with you. We have walked together. We have seen miracles. You have done them. I have raised my hand. I raised my hand over the Red Sea. You parted it. I threw my staff down. You turned it into a snake. We have done so much together. More than that, we've talked together. We have been friends. And now you're telling me you're going to send me, but you're not going to go with me. You're going to send some nameless angel with us, but not go with us yourself. You see, Moses cared much more about who was going with him than where he was going. He says, I don't want all that stuff if you're not with me. Would that be the cry of our heart? Would we settle for the BMW and no God? The beautiful home and no God? The secure job and high salary and no God? Would we settle for that? Moses said, don't send me there if you're not coming with me. I want to share just a few thoughts about this exchange. First thought I want to share is this. Where we go in life is important. Who we go there with is more important. Where we go in life is important. Who we go there with is more important. Because here's the thing. God created us as relational beings. We are created to relate to one another, to people. We want relationship. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, the Lord used to walk in the cool of the day with Adam. And they would talk. How was your day? That's one of the things we often do at dinner time. How was your day? How was your day? We tell about the adventures, the high points, the low points. God hung out with Adam and Eve. He hung out with them. He wasn't a God who just created them and said, okay, see you later. He enjoyed being with them. He enjoyed fellowship and friendship, but he created us to need that, to long for that. Not just relationship with anybody, but primarily with relationship with our Creator. And there is a sense, a gnawing sense in our hearts. And you can see it through history, and you can see it around the world today. though people may not recognize what it is. Why is there, why isn't the world, why, let's just think about this. Why isn't the world just completely happy? I mean, just completely happy. And maybe once every 100 years, a little fight breaks out in some home. Why isn't that possible? Why is there such emptiness and brokenness and longing and materialism and pushing and hurting and injustice? And why are all these things going on? Why is it that somebody could literally have all that I just described, the beautiful home, the high-paying job, fame, whatever, the BMW or a Lamborghini, and actually be emptier in soul than every one of us? Why is that? Because there's a longing in our heart for something that nothing in the world, nowhere, no arrival, no place can give to us. We long for God. What's missing isn't where we are, it's who we are with. God created us for relationship with Him, and we long for that. But in spite of that, it's easiest for us to think in terms, I want you to follow me here, in terms of where we are in life, where we go in life, where we've been in life. It's easy for us to think in terms of where. We focus on things like, where am I going to go to school for my education? Where do I work? Where will I work? Where will I live? Where do we sit on the social status ladder? We want people to look at us and say, he's arrived, she's arrived. We don't want people to look at us and say, loser, look at them. They haven't gotten anywhere in life. It bothers us. Sometimes we ask questions like, where is my life going? You ever ask that question? Where is my life going? Sometimes we think, when we stop numbing ourselves with whatever, we think beyond the moment. I think, where's my life going? That's a good question. It's a good question. Where we go in life is important. We might think things like, I thought I'd be further along by now. Or I don't like where life has taken me. Where we are is important to us. I had a memory a few weeks after Janice and I got married. I got an invitation to my 10th year high school reunion. Now, I moved into the school kind of mid high school years. So a lot of these kids, they grew up knowing each other. They had long-term relationships. And I'm the new kid. And I got to know some people. I got to know some friends. But I didn't have roots. I didn't have deep relationships there. No long-term friendships or anything like that. So as soon as high school was over, I was out of touch with, I think, all of them. Like, no more connection at all. But I thought, it'd be good to go. So I go to this 10th year anniversary. Janice is with me. And as soon as I walked in, I could tell that most of them knew each other really well. And we're connecting with each other. It was almost like we're back in high school, and they're talking about let's get drunk and all this sort of thing. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I recognize a few faces. I don't even know if we were friends or enemies in high school. Like, I don't know what our relationship was. And the few people that I did make friends with didn't come that night. So I'm feeling, I can't even imagine what Janice was feeling, but I'm feeling a little out of place, a little awkward, those like awkward conversations, like what's the 10 years been like for you and all that sort of thing. And then finally, I saw Bob Mineo. Bob Mineo was a guy I really enjoyed. We weren't close friends, but we were friends in school. And Bob was just a likable guy. He was funny. He had this dry sense of humor. And he was so understated. He was humble. He was soft-spoken, but he was just really, like, so there was nothing intimidating about Bob. So I see Bob, and I felt like hugging him, like, finally, somebody that I know. Bob, how are you? And we get to talking, and so at some point, of course, the question comes up, and I ask him, what do you do for a living? 10 years has gone by, and He just, you know, casually mentions, yeah, I'm the chief anesthetist at a hospital for special surgery. I'm like, oh yeah, he's smart too. I forgot about that. This guy did something I never did. He studied. Then he asked me what I did. And I wasn't the chief of anything. I worked in a music store for 10 years, selling guitars, keyboards. I was the chief pickologist when somebody needed a guitar pick. I could like run them through all the different picks. I worked at a music store for a few dollars over minimum wage. I didn't tell him that last part. But in my heart, I was comparing where he was in life to where I was in life. And I admit, I felt a little small. I felt a little like a failure. Of course, what I was not as aware of as I should have been is I was blessed to have my best who with me, my beautiful new bride. And over the years, our where has changed a number of times, many times, but by the grace of God, our who has not changed, except that the Lord's added three beautiful children and three beautiful grandchildren to our who in our family. And my greatest, greatest who was and is my greatest friend, my faithful God, who came into my life when I was a teenager, when I was in high school, and has been with me faithfully ever since. You see, where we go in life is important, but who we go there with is more important. That's just how God created us. He made us relational. So he gives us family, and he gives us friends, and he puts us in a church family where we can hopefully connect and encourage and love and support one another as we go through whatever where life has for us. But no one can take the place of the presence of God with us. Having his presence in our lives is what we long for more than anything else. Nothing is more precious than the presence of the Lord in our lives. Moses said, don't send me there if you don't go with me. Second point I want to make from this is Jesus made a way for us to draw near to God in intimate relationship. George shared that today. That's what ransom, redeemed, reconciled, and renewed is all about. It's about relationship. There's a fifth R. But that's what those four are about. Relationship. You see, Moses stood as a mediator between God and the Israelites. They were a stiff-necked people. They were rebellious. Moses didn't deny that. He didn't go and say, well, God, if you look at these people from a certain, yeah, they worshiped a golden calf, but it was a really nice golden calf. And maybe they were thinking of you when they were worshiping it. You know, maybe they're not that bad. They're not that bad. Moses didn't deny their sin. He didn't deny that they were a pain in the neck. They frustrated him sometimes too. I mean, he's like cracking commandments over his knee. He got so angry at them, but he reminded the Lord, they might be stiff-necked people, they might be rebellious, they might be prone to idolatry and prone to complaining and prone to all these things, but they're your people. They're who you have, God. And if you abandon them, the nations are going to talk and say, there's no difference. Doesn't matter if you worship Dagon or Baal or Yahweh, there's no difference. He moved God's heart, but you know what? God had intended for him to move his heart all along. He was a mediator between the sinful people and a holy God, and he was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, who is our great mediator. But Jesus did so much more than simply advocate for us. On the cross, he advocated for us. He advocated for us by giving his life, by shedding his blood, by taking the punishment that we deserve for all our sins and idolatries and rebellion and stiff-neckedness. He took all of that upon himself that we might receive forgiveness, that we might be cleansed of our sin, that we might be redeemed back to God in relationship, that we might receive the righteousness of Jesus, so that when the Lord looks at us, he sees the righteousness of God. That's what Romans is about, which we'll be returning to soon. You see, Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to establish relationship, to restore our relationship to God. And so we see in Hebrews chapter 4, the Father encourages us to boldly come into his presence with our needs, in time of need, to share honestly. Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually took up residence in us. That's how close God said, I'm gonna come so close to you. I'm going to live with you. No, I'm going to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. I don't know how he puts up with me, but he does. Because when God sees me, he sees the righteousness of Christ. But also, renewal, the Lord is working in me. I'm not who I was in high school, thank God. And in high school, I was not who I was before I came to Christ. Sometimes I think we think the gospel is Jesus came to earth so that we could go to heaven. We think in terms of where. He came here so we could go where? There. To heaven. That's true. And that's absolutely true. But the best part of the gospel isn't where we go. It's who we spend eternity with. That we will be with the Lord forever. Jesus said, when he prayed the high priestly prayer, he said, Father, he said, I came to give them eternal life. And this is eternal life, Father, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. That's eternal life, knowing God, not being someplace. So eternal life isn't primarily about a place. It's about a relationship. Forever with the presence of the Lord, knowing Jesus, knowing the Spirit of God, knowing the Father, that is eternal life. Jesus made a way for us to draw near to God. And finally, I just want to encourage us. I want to maybe, and I need this as much as anybody, I want to recalibrate our thinking. When we get the who right in our lives will be blessed no matter where we are. When we get the who right, when we have the presence of the Lord in our lives will be blessed no matter where we are. Moses said to God, show me your glory. I want you, Lord, in my life. See, this was precious to the ears of God to hear. I hunger for you. I thirst for you, God. I don't want a great place without you. I want you. Leave me here, but I want you. Leave me in the desert. Leave me scrambling for survival in a hard, hot, barren place, but I want you with me, God. That's what I want. That was music to God's ears. Our hunger draws out God's desire to be near us and draw near us. He loves that. So he says to the Lord, the Lord says to Moses, I'm going to reward your hunger for me by showing you who I am, by showing you my glory, by showing you my goodness. God is good. The devil's big lie is that God isn't good. He's mean, he's judgmental, he's angry, and he's, you know, this and that. And God's heart is good. In fact, so good, God said, I'm going to pass you by, and I'm going to let my goodness pass you by. But I'm going to hide you in a cleft of the rock. That's Jesus. He is our cleft in the rock that we are hidden in. And I'm just going to let you see the back passing of my goodness, because if you saw my goodness straight on, it would kill you. You see, it's not God's anger that would kill us, it's his goodness. We're not good on the level. We're like that paint that's smeared and dirty and everything. It looks white until you put real white next to it. That's God's holiness. His goodness is what would fry us, not his anger. He said, I'm going to let you see my goodness pass you by. And that's who God is for us. Amen? He is good. When we receive Jesus Christ and believe on him, God is with us, and he's with us in the deepest, darkest valleys. And even the valleys hold a blessing for us. Without God, even the highest mountaintop experiences are empty. So, as we kind of bring this to a close, life is going to take us to a lot of wheres. I don't know where you are in life right now. And by that, I mean encompassing where you're at, what's going on in your life, who's in your life, who's not in your life, what's going on in your circumstances. Life takes us to a lot of wheres. Sometimes those wheres can be great. Oh man, this is a great season. I love where I'm at in life right now. And sometimes they can be hard. I really wish I was in a different place right now. We might be in a furnace, a fiery trial, and we want to get out of it and be in a different place. But like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's a fourth man in that fire with us, and that's the Lord. He is with us in the fire. Doesn't mean you got to like the fiery furnace. But you will find the blessing of the Lord being with you in the midst of that. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place that frightens us, that scares us. Maybe a new thing is coming on. We get a call from the doctor. We've lost our job. We have to make some change. You know, whatever it is, someone we care about is going through something, and fear creeps in and crawls up our spine. But you know, over and over again in the Bible, the Lord speaks to our fears, but he never says, do not be afraid, because I'm going to take you to that place. That's not how the Lord addresses our fear. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. It's not where, it's who. Sometimes we go through sad times. And there's no point in denying sadness. There's no point in saying, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to struggle with sadness. But in the midst of sadness, we find comfort in the presence of the Lord, in the person of the Lord. Nothing is more precious than the presence of the Lord in our lives. Nothing is so good it can take the place of God's presence. Nothing is so bad it can overwhelm the presence of the Lord. What we learned from Moses this morning is to value the presence of our God and Savior more than life itself, more than anything else. So as we close, and I'd like to ask Becky to come up, I want to share an encouragement with you this morning, and it's an encouragement I am taking to heart as well, to draw near to your Heavenly Father. Draw near to Him. Here are some things to help us to do that, because God wants us to come to Him confidently, boldly. The first thing I just want to encourage us to do is speak the gospel to your soul. That you're not pleasing to God and acceptable to God, and He doesn't say, come into my presence because you have had a great day, and you have prayed, and you have done this, and you have done that, and you've read your Bible. Those things are important. But we come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. We draw near with confidence because He has washed us clean. We draw near not based on what we do or did, but based on what Jesus did and does for us. So when we come to God, He's not angry with us. He's not like, boy, I'm sick and tired of you. I'm sick of your failures. I'm sick that you haven't come to me. Why should you come to me now when you haven't been praying through all this time? You haven't been reading. Why should you come to me? God's not like that. He's just like, my child, I'm so glad to see you. Come into my presence. You got a need. You got something on your heart. Share it with me. I'm going to encourage us, spend time with the Lord. I am honestly struggling a little bit right now. My schedule is crammed up a little bit. And I realized something, that I'm going to have to get up earlier if I'm going to get time with the Lord. That's like a revelation, isn't it? Do I love sleep? Do I love the Lord more than sleep? That extra whatever. And it's not like you have to spend 3 hours with the Lord. But get time with the Lord. That's, relationships flourish when you spend time with someone. They wither when we neglect that time. Bring that need to God for help. Thank God for your blessings. Amen. We're blessed, aren't we? We're blessed people. Thank God for that. Don't just say, oh, I'm glad I was able to do this, and I'm glad I'm able to do that, and I'm glad I'm making so much money, and I'm living in such a great place, and I'm this and that, and I'm healthy, and I'm, you know, this and that. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for your grace in my life. Talk to God. Don't come to him with phony, you know, God speak, God talk. Just be honest. And finally, let this book guide your life. I'm telling you, long after everything else, Jesus said, this earth is going to pass away, the heavens are going to pass away, this book will still be in print. Not one dot or cross T or dotted I will pass away from his word. Let's stir up that hunger and thirst for God, because God responds to hunger and thirst by giving us more of himself. And just if you've never received Jesus Christ, you don't need to clean up your act. You don't need to do this, that, and the next. Just come to him in faith. Say, Lord, I believe you died on that cross for my sins. Would you come into my heart? Would you be my Savior? Would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you take over my life and guide it where you want me to be? Because if you come into my life, I've got the most important who. It's not about the where. It's about the who. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your kindness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you are to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.